Network, and this is Bears on Tap.
This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and we're brought to you by the Verdoliak Law Group, fighting insurance companies since 1963, and BetChicago.com, your source for all of Chicago's sports and betting news. Bears on Tap is brought to you by TixBlitz.com. TixBlitz.com. Head over to TixBlitz.com for all of your ticket needs.
First and goal, Trubisky in the gun. Snap, handing off. Jordan Howard stands up in the end zone untouched. Touchdown, touchdown Bears. 6-0 on the 1 yard Jordan Howard run, and the Bears take advantage of the great field position and get on the board for the first time today. 6-0 Bears, capping a 6-play 37-yard drive.
Juggled and eventually caught by Jason Froom. The ball comes out, and the Bears have it. It's a fumble and a takeaway. Eddie Jackson going the other way for a Chicago touchdown. Blitz is on, and Peterman's throw. And that's another takeaway for the Bears. Leonard Floyd with a touchdown for Chicago.
Snap, they're going to run it to Howard, slanting right to the 10, bulldozes through a defender at the 5, he is in for the touchdown, ran over, Jordan Poyer, the safety, the poor guy had no chance, because the J train was rolling, like a locomotive into the end zone. Scales will send it back up to the snap, slight angle left here is the snap and placement, the kick is up, it is good for Parkey from 23. Bears answer the field goal drive by the Bills to start the second half. They tack on three more and lead it 31-3. Here's the kick by Cody Parkey, and it is good from 45 yards. Extends the lead to 34-3 over the Buffalo Bills.
McCoy without a touchdown this year. Bears have not given up a rushing touchdown on third and goal. Peterman keeps, and Peterman is in with a Buffalo touchdown.
Trubisky with Howard to his right. Trey Burton wing right, takes the snap, fakes the handoff, slings it sidearm at the one, right side, caught it in for the touchdown. Touchdown Bears by Trey Burton. And the Bears extend the lead to 40-9 over the Buffalo Bills.
A great team win for us, all three phases. Obviously, stating the obvious is the defense coming out and just having the turnovers they had. Two defensive touchdowns in the second quarter. I thought they kept constant pressure on their offense. Just played great. Special teams, field position, some great punts by Pat. Our guys on special teams going down there making good plays, batting the balls in. Cody made a nice 45-yard field goal. And then offense, I mean, we only have 46 plays, but in the first half, I thought we moved the ball when we need to. And then the thing that I think can get undervalued in this game is Mitch's ability on third and long in the first half to make some three really good throws to some receivers to get the chains going, inevitably for us to flip the field and then be able to score points. So I'm proud of our coaches. I thought they put in a great week of practice. Mentally, I thought our guys were strong all week. And then it showed on the field. They came ready to play, and that was great in so many ways.
Cheers, Bears fans! This is Bears on Tap. That was Chicago Bears head coach Matt Nagy summarizing his team's effort in their 41-9 win over the Bills in Buffalo. My name is Aldo Gandia. Danny Shimon will join me briefly, and later, Bears Girl will pop in to give us an account of her time at Orchard Park. And thank you to Julia Phelan for her opening cheers. At the halfway point of this year, the Bears are now 5-3. Last year, they won 5 games for the entire season. They are a victory away from matching their highest win total since 2013, when they were 8-8. The Bears are currently in first place by a half a game. They have a point differential lead over the Vikings of 66 points. This despite the fact that the Vikes have played one more game. Next week, the Bears come back home to play the Lions, who are 3-5 for the season and 1-3 on the road. then it's the Vikings at Soldier Field. I'm not looking past the Lions. I'm just pointing out that the Bears are in charge of their own destiny. This young team that has a rookie head coach who has brought to Chicago leadership traits we have not seen in a Bears coach in many years and an innovative spirit we've rarely seen in Chicago this century. This team, with a quarterback who has all of the physical tools, smarts, and desire to make exponential leaps in his progress. This Bears team, with a defense that leads the NFC in touchdowns scored and has already proven to be among the best in the NFL. This team, with half a season gone, is holding a playoff spot in their hands. It's there. Think of it. This team should be 8-0. Think of it. Except for the injury to Kyle Long, this team is fairly healthy and might have Khalil Mack, Allen Robinson, and maybe even Adam Shaheen in the lineup next week. Think of it. The playoffs should be a reality, and we, the Chicago Bears fans, need to put aside what's happened in the recent past and believe in these Bears. Believe. Danny Shimon, how you doing, brother?
Aldo, how are you, my friend? I'm doing very well tonight after another victory by our beloved Chicago Bears.
What do you think? You think it's too early for me to start using the P word, playoffs?
Is it too early? I think so, but I mean, you and I have both been on the air every week after each game, and we both believe in this team, and we both believe in the direction they're going in. And we think they're slowly but surely building on a like you said, a team that's growing together and coming together at the right time, probably. Now, these two victories this week against Buffalo and the previous week against the Jets, they weren't the prettiest victories, but they were must wins, and they were able to go ahead and get those victories and secure those victories. Now, they, like you said, stand top of the division. Now, these next 3 weeks are prime division games where they need to, you know, focus on the NFC North and try and make ground and hopefully create some separation between themselves and the rest of the teams, you know, the Packers and the Vikings at top of the division. So I'm very, very encouraged by the direction of the team, both from management, from the coaching, and as far as the actual talent on the field as well. So, yes, is it a bit premature? Maybe, but I'm right there with you in terms of optimism and hope for this team, and it's not only for this season, but also beyond the season for the upcoming years.
That's exactly how I'm feeling, Danny. Optimistic and hopeful. And when I look at what the Bears have done this season, they really could be 8-0 because the three losses were such close games. And then the two games that they won by tremendous scores against the Bucks, 48-10, and the Bills, 41-9, those games should have been those kind of scores. Against the Bucks, Trubisky was facing a depleted Tampa Bay secondary, and he took them to town. It was a tremendous performance. Today, the Bills' offense was depleted, and even without Khalil Mack, the Bears defense got it done. That, to me, is so convincing of a team that is capable of winning this division and getting into the playoffs.
Perfect example right there. Two games, both blowouts, one game versus the Bucs. We call that an offensive victory, right? The offensive unit had a great game. Trubisky threw 6 touchdown passes. And we'd say the offense, even though the defense played pretty well, but the offense won that game for him. This game, blowout. But what happened was, you know, the offense had a so-so, you know, up and down performance, never really got into a rhythm, but defensively created turnovers. We had 2, you know, touchdowns on defense. We say the defense won this game for us. So that's what you're trying to get to. You're trying to get to a team that's got, you know, it's not just offensively built or defensively built. That's you know, equally effective on both ends. And if you throw in an effective special teams unit, then you got a well-rounded team that can compete against anybody in the NFC or in the NFL, I should say.
Like Stacy says in the chat room, the Bears are improving all the time. And that's the key here. For the next 8 games, they have to improve because they can continue to play at the level that they're playing at and possibly still get in the playoffs. But what I am counting on is that this team is going to get better. And barring any unforeseen injury, this team should improve. Mitch Trubisky should become a better quarterback and correct some of the mistakes he's been making. Today, he unfortunately did not have a great game against Buffalo. It would have been great to see that, but he was playing against a really tough defense, a defense that had their way with Tom Brady last Monday night. So it's excusable for him not to have the type of game we would have loved to have seen him have. But Stacy is right. We got to keep building, and I really, really believe that this team has a chance. And dare I say that Matt Nagy is in contention for Coach of the Year honors. Have I been drinking too much tequila?
Well, I think you've been drinking too much tequila, but I think you might be right as well. So, but in terms of Trubisky, you know, getting to him, like, yeah, he didn't have the greatest game today. There's some overthrows, so on and so forth. But I saw some progress. And again, the progress I saw in him is his pocket presence, his ability to step up in the pocket, his ability to not tuck it and run when he felt pressure coming up. He stepped up and found a couple of receivers underneath. Also, a key thing, and I don't know if you want to get into it now or not.
Please, go ahead.
His running has been noticed around the league, as we pointed out a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
You know, with his big games and, you know, carrying the ball, mm-hmm. you know, now defenders are being asked to stay in and spy. So you're taking one guy out of coverage, one guy, you know, from rushing the passer, and he's sitting there and he's watching Trubisky. Perfect example was that 1 yard touchdown run by Jordan Howard. You know, it was a read option play where Trubisky had the chance to either keep the ball or head off to Howard. What happened was the safety, Jordan Poyer, was there at the edge of the line, and he had to actually wait and see what Trubisky did with the ball and not dive down the line and tackle Jordan Howard. So he just stood there frozen, and until by the time he realized Trubisky had given the ball to Jordan Howard, Howard was already across the goal line, already a touchdown. That's a key play right there. That's something that you don't have in a non-mobile quarterback. So defensive coordinators around the league have paid attention to Trubisky's mobility, have seen his ability to run the ball, you know, carry the ball, and notice he is a threat. And that right there, that play is a perfect example of how his legs have also, you know, created an additional dimension on the Bears' offense and given them an advantage over the defense and defensive coordinators.
You know, I, when I think of Mitch Trubisky, the word conundrum pops into my mind, because this guy, he shows so much promise, and then every once in a while he just does something so stupid. And then I take a step back, I take a deep breath, and I say to myself, he's still so young. He still doesn't have that experience. He's still, you know, is pressing to trying to make big plays. For instance, the fumble that he had early in the game. Clearly, he should have thrown that ball away. Perhaps there would have been a chance for a long field goal attempt. But he held on to the ball carelessly, and there was a forced fumble. Mitch Trubisky, to me, you know, he can become that quarterback we've all dreamed of in Chicago, but it's just going to take time. Nonetheless, I still believe he can do enough. Because of the good coaching that he's getting, because of the players around him, he can do enough to get this team into the playoffs.
Oh, I agree. And it's one thing that we got to keep, you know, harping on here is he is, you know, in terms of learning, he's still learning. You know, the amount of starts he has in the NFL, you know, doesn't, you know, combine, include to what some of the other quarterbacks that are drafted ahead of him or after him in terms of, you know, like guys like Mahomes or Watson or other quarterbacks that have come on in recent years have had in the, you know, in college alone. They've had 30-some-odd starts. I think he's only had a handful, you know, a little bit less than 30 starts already in the NFL. So not even including is his last year in college. So he's still learning. Again, we've said it every single week, I believe, on this show, is that this is a high-volume offense. He's still getting comfortable within his offense. And the key right there is the head coach and Trubisky have a bond, and that's key right there, because there is no, you know, in between here between the head coach and the quarterback. This is directly from the head coach to the quarterback, And he is specifically working with him, and he's getting him to the point where he needs him to be. Now, is he a finished product? By no means is he a finished product. Does he still make some mistakes that make you scratch your head and make you scream at TV, like the case in point, the fumble today, or the overthrow to wide open Josh Bellamy over in the end zone? So, you know, stuff like that still gets you a little bit rattled, but you got to see the small progress every week. And right now what I'm seeing is his ability not only to create, you know, with his legs, but also the ability to now feel the pressure in the pocket, step up, and be able to find those underneath guys. That's key for his development.
I think that Anthony Miller's numbers would be almost twice what they are now if Trubisky was more accurate in passes that he's thrown to the poor guy. I mean, that pass today, how could he overthrow a wide open Anthony Miller by that much? Not even give him a chance to tip the ball to himself. It was unbelievable, that overthrow.
There's three to four touchdowns that I've already counted this season so far that Anthony Miller could have had if Trubisky hit this kid in stride. But one thing I did like is also the key today was the development, the rapport between Trubisky and Miller today. You saw that they connected a couple times on some big plays. A couple times he was able to elude pressure in the pocket, buy some time, and he found Miller downfield for a big, you know, a couple of big first down pickups. So that chemistry is coming. You know, I think with Allen Robinson being out of the lineup, I think Trubisky and Miller have gotten more in sync now. And I think once Robinson comes back, I think that's going to add another dimension, another guy that he feels comfortable throwing to. So I think that rapport is building with him and Miller, and I'll just see him, and as long as, like I said, knock on wood, everyone stays healthy, I think him and Miller are going to continue to grow and get better as the season goes on.
Danny, when you made your scouting evaluation of Anthony Miller, correct me if I'm wrong, but I do remember you saying two words, Antonio Brown.
Yes.
I mean, he reminds me
so much of... I don't want to, you know, call a kid coming out of Memphis and the next Antonio Brown, but his ability to separate at the top of his route, his strong hands, you know, he's not a big guy, but he can go up there. He can you know, compete for those jump balls, for 50-50 balls. You know, he's physical at the point of catch. So you saw it today. You know, a couple times there was one catch towards the sideline where he came out and he snagged the ball with his hands, a pure hands catcher. You love seeing that in a receiver. And he dragged his toes and got that you know, first down. And I think it was Sean McDermott, the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, was questioning whether that was a catch or not. And Miller was showing him, here's the ball, here's it in my hands. You know, I have this catch. So the kid is not only confident, he's a playmaker. You know, a number of times, like we talked about earlier, you know, he had over the top leverage on a defender. And if Trubisky hit him in stride in previous games, he could have, you know, I think he has three touchdowns now in the season. He could have had at least seven touchdowns in the season already. So this kid was a kid I pounded the table for the pre-draft process. He was my number two rated receiver coming out of this draft class. And I was ecstatic when the Bears were able to trade up in the second round and nab him.
Danny, remind me who the wide receivers coach is for the Chicago Bears. I'm forgetting his name.
Mike Fury. He's a former NFL player. I believe he played He played with the Lions and as a receiver. And then him and Nagy had a connection because they both played together in the Arena League.
It was a joy watching him coach these wide receivers at Bourbonnais because he has got a fiery temperament. He is a meticulous teacher of what needs to happen and so forth. And while everybody was praising Anthony Miller, Mike Fury brought us all back down to reality and said, this guy, yes, he's making great catches and so forth, but even on some of those plays at Bourbonnais, he was running the wrong route.
Right. He made the play, but yet he wasn't in the proper place and he didn't meet the proper read post snap, you know, if I remember correctly. So
you're right.
Again, he came from a school that ran a spread system and he ran limited route tree. So, you know, his route running is still developing it right now as a professional. So again, this kid is only going to get better as well. As a number of these rookies, we're already seeing this rookie class making an impact on this team right now. So, and a lot of them are just right now just tipping, you know, their talent. They're all going to get better with more repetition, with more experience, so on and so forth. So, again, I'm very, very much very excited about not only, like we said, the current team, but also the future of this team going forward.
Danny, Jordan Howard today looked like The stats don't back it up at all. But what I saw, the eye test, Jordan Howard is still one of the best running backs in the NFC and in the entire NFL. This guy was playing, you know, with total heart, and I wish he would have gotten more carries. But the game didn't dictate that he needed, you know, the team needed that amount of carries. But the guy got stuff done.
Right. Again, 14 carries to my, you know, in my opinion, is not enough for Jordan Howard. I think Jordan Poyer is still looking to see who ran him over in that you know, that one touchdown run. I mean, he just totally bulldozed them over as he went in for that 18-yard touchdown run. But this kid is a guy who gets better with more carries. And I've always come out here, again, every week I've said this guy needs between 20 and 25 carries at the minimum to get him going, to get him lathered up, you know, to get him pounding, you know, to these defensive linemen. So, you know, again, he only had 14 carries for 47 yards, averaged 3.4, but those two big touchdowns, this is a guy you got to keep feeding him the ball. And I'm going to be harping here over and over again. I think this is a game where you could have given him more carries, but it didn't play out that way. But again, Jordan Howard, I agree with you. He's a guy, he should be the focal point of this running attack, this rushing attack. The offensive line today in the first half didn't do any favors. I mean, there are a couple times where as soon as he got the ball, there were guys literally in his face, you know. So it was a little bit tough sledding going up against that middle of that defensive line for the Buffalo Bills. But eventually what they started doing is they started going over on the outside, going over the tackles, and where the Bills aren't as strong at the point of attack. And that's where you saw Howard pick up a lot of his yardage as well. But again, this is a kid who just keep feeding him the ball, and eventually he'll break through. And, you know, he won't give you the 50, 60-yard splashy, you know, big runs, but he'll get you a 5, a 7, a 10-yard carry. Next thing you know, he's running 15 yards, 20 yards, and he's getting you touchdowns.
Danny, it almost seems like this football team has multiple secret weapons because they don't use anybody a lot. They spread the ball around so much that – Jordan Howard is like a secret weapon. Trey Burton is like a secret weapon. Anthony Miller, Allen Robinson, and on and on and on it goes. I mean, to me, that is something that I love about this team. Yeah, you know, for fantasy purposes, or I'd love to open up the stats sheet on ESPN and see Chicago Bears guys at the top of the stats chart and so forth. But I'd much rather see a team that is diversified like this Bears offense is, and keep defenses on their heels because they don't know what's coming.
Right. There isn't one guy to key on. You know, typically at the beginning of the season, everyone was keying on Allen Robinson, and, you know, he got off to a decent start. But, you know, even with Robinson out of the lineup the last couple of weeks, you saw – other guys pick it up. You saw Trey Burton. You saw Anthony Miller. You saw Taylor Gabriel, who you forgot to mention. Yep. You saw guys like that, you know, that are getting involved in the offense. And while no one had a, you know, monster big game, you know, to your point, they are spreading the ball around, which is very good because defensive coordinators cannot, you know, zero in on one guy and say, all right, we take away this guy and, the Bears offense shuts down. So that's a good thing. And hey, Eddie Jackson was in the backfield today on a goal line series as well. So you never know who's going to line up. We've seen two quarterbacks back there. We've seen Eddie Jackson back there. God knows who we'll see in, you know, next couple of weeks. But that's the one thing about head coach Matt Nagy is that, you know, he's always looking to create, you know, things on tape where you're going to get the opposing defensive coordinator thinking, all right, what are they doing here? You know, so today they showed, you know, Eddie Jackson back there. What is he doing back there? You know, what's he going to do eventually? You know, nothing happened in terms of him getting the ball or anything like that. But what was he back there for? You know, what could be a possibility here? So things like that, where you put things into out there in the atmosphere, and the defensive corners are like, oh man, what was he going to do with Eddie Jackson there? What if Chase Daniels is in the backfield and there's a play where, you know, Trubisky sneaks out around the corner and, you know, for a real route, and then Chase Daniels could throw him the ball. So things like that, you know, you put things out there on tape. And these defensive coordinators, you know, they're always scouring tapes. They're always trying to look for any sort of habits or anything where they can pick up on things. But, you know, with the way Nagy does things, which I do like, it's always you never know what's going to happen. What like I said, Eddie Jackson was not going to get the ball today, but he put him out there, and now the Bills have to react to that. And now
Yep.
You know, the future opponents would be like, all right, if Adoree Jackson's back there, what's he going to do with the ball? So
it's so fascinating that we've had Adoree Jackson in the backfield. We've had the backup quarterback, Chase Daniel. Who else have we had back there that shouldn't be back there?
And then today he lined up, he flip-flopped Cohen with Trubisky in the pistol.
Yep.
And Trubisky was the running back, and Cohen got the direct snap.
Very cool. Now, I got into a Twitter argument a little bit with my great friend, Draft Dr. Phil. And on Tuesday when we record Bears 100 Proof, I am really going to tear him a new a-hole because I am tired of Draft Dr. Phil picking on Matt Nagy's play calling. I think that it's just gotten out of hand. I don't agree with Matt Nagy's play calling 100%. There isn't an NFL head coach or offensive coordinator that we can say, yo, man, he always calls the best play. Absolutely not. I am just sick and tired of, like, for instance, Phil says, give the ball to Jordan Howard on 3rd-and-1. You got the best power back. Well, they did it today, and then all of a sudden, Phil tweets out, it should have been a spread formation. Shouldn't have been a power formation. Screw that. Come on. That was just a function of the offensive line not doing their job. And I'm going to give shit to Phil on Tuesday when we record Bears 100 Proof. It's going to be an explosive interaction if Phil still maintains that his stance that that was a bad play call. That was a great play call. It was 3rd-and-1. They brought Tariq Cohen out of the wide receiver position, put him in the halfback position. Jordan Howard was in the fullback position, a quick handoff, but the left guard just did not give him any room. And that was it. It was just an execution. It was not on Matt Nagy at all. Matt Nagy is one of the most innovative coaches in pro football. And if he had a veteran quarterback, if he had a team that had been in this offense for a while, I think we would be seeing a powerhouse offense. My chips, if we're playing poker, my chips are on Matt Nagy. I like this guy, and I like the way he thinks, and I like his innovative spirit. It's much effing better than what we've had with John Fox and Dow Loggins the last couple of years. So lay off on my coach.
Well, first of all, now I'm looking forward to Bears on Tap here, or 100 Proof. So I'm gonna get the popcorn ready and be sitting and listen to this podcast. You know, so and full disclosure, you know, Phil has Jordan Howard in fantasy league, so that's why he's harping for Howard to get the ball more. But getting back to Nagy in terms of his play calling, I was one of his harsher critics in the beginning of the season because a lot of times I felt like 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2, he was getting way too cute with this. You know, he was going with the option play. Actually, we saw it today too. I think it was 3rd-and-2. He played the little option toss play, and it was a bad play call. But today, I think that was the only play off the top of my head that I had questioned. You know, today Eric Kush was getting, you know, bulldozed at the line of scrimmage. A couple of times even Cody Whitehair got pushed back, you know, into the running back's lap basically. So that Bills defensive front, especially that middle, you know, is pretty stout and pretty powerful. So today I really couldn't fault him for trying to get more creative in terms of trying to get on the outside, on the edges, and picking up those first downs. But I was one of his biggest critics in terms of getting really cute. He's gone more conventional, I believe, in my opinion, as the season has progressed. He's gotten less and less cute with those short yardage plays. You know, against the Jets, there was a lot of times he just, you know, handed the ball off to Jordan Howard on 3rd-and-short and got those first downs. So I was one of his critics initially, but I think as the season's going on, he's gotten more comfortable. And he said it, you know, to his credit, Nagy said, he goes, you know, I'm learning as I'm going. I'm learning what each guy can and cannot do, you know, in certain situations. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe he didn't have the trust in the offensive line initially, you know, and now today maybe he didn't have it, in terms of the replacements for Kyle Long and the guys up front. He saw that they were getting pushed off. Maybe that's why he went for a more of a non-conventional 3rd-and-short play with the option. So, mm-hmm. I think he's adjusting, and I think he's learning.
Yes.
And I think he's getting better and better each week, and as he's getting more and more comfortable with what his personnel is and what he can and cannot do.
I have so much respect for this coach. Any new rookie head coach who shares his vulnerability with the fans constantly reminds us, I'm learning too. The rest of the coaches, we're responsible for getting better too. It's not like, you know, I hate to kick John Fox in the ass. No, I really don't. I want to kick him in the ass. You know, John Fox was like, we're always right. The coaches are always right. You know, and that's just somebody who is scared of losing his job saying stuff like that. But never mind that. We got so many great comments in the chat room. And one of the things that people are talking a lot about is the false starts by Charles Leno Jr. But I got to tell you this. In listening to the post-game report on WBBM News Radio, and thank you to WBBM for use of the highlights with Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer said something that I thought was really, really insightful. He said that at the beginning of the game, the crowd noise at Buffalo, and Bears Girl will be with us here shortly so she can confirm or deny that this is true. Tom Thayer said that the crowd noise was so loud that it was very difficult for the outside tackles to be able to hear the snap count, and that he thought that was why Leno had also so many false starts in the game. What do you think, Danny? Do you think that's a good excuse, or you think Tom Thayer, a former offensive lineman, is just making an excuse for one of his own?
No, Tom Thayer is one of the best in the business, and what he says is typically always right. And the Bears were going with a silent count. If you noticed, the right guard, it was Kush or Winsman, whoever was in there, they were looking back. They were getting the go ahead from Trubisky, and he was signaling to Whitehair, and the next thing you know, the pass was being snapped. So, or the ball was being snapped. So there it looks like they were going with a silent count. And as a tackle, you're taught to look at the ball, right? So again, because I hate those false start penalties, you should be able to know your system, you know your offense. And a couple of times those, I don't know if it was Leno's, or I know Leno had two of them and Massey had one, but one of them took away a big gainer to the tight end, Trey Byrne. So, mm-hmm. those are penalties that really, really irked me. And actually, matter of fact, as a team today, the Bears were very, they're typically a well-coached team in terms of penalties. They don't get a lot of penalties, but I think they had over 14 penalties for 100 and some yards today,
oh
which
my
is
gosh,
and
yes.
not typical for them. Penalties like that really, really can hurt you and can set you back in terms of, especially on offense, right? You're trying to stay ahead of the chains. You're trying to get those chains moving. Third and long, on the road against a team like the Bills, who again, overall, they're not really, offensively, they're pretty much inept, but defensively, they got some playmakers, and the fact that you give them, Trubisky and the guys, a third and long against with that crowd noise, with that defensive front, that you're really putting them at a disadvantage. So those penalties really were crushers. So I believe the total was 14 penalties for 129 yards. So that's not typical of this Bears team.
Not at all, Danny. Two things. Number one, the Patriots final. They beat the Packers. That means the Chicago Bears are a game and a half in front of the Green Bay Packers.
There you go.
I don't think the Packers are even going to get close. I think it was Double A Ron in the chat room said that the Packers aren't even going to get close to getting into the playoffs because of the tough schedule that they have. And frankly, I think that, there's so many deficiencies on that team that they really don't look like a playoff team, unlike the Chicago Bears, who look like a playoff team. The second thing I want to say to you is that you and I, have buried the lead. In journalism talk, the lead is the top story. Well, we've buried it because the lead was the Bears' defense today against Buffalo was tremendous. Give me your thoughts on them.
Yeah, four turnovers, two defensive scores. I mean, they were reason. They're the reason why I think the Bears won. But like I said earlier, won this game in a runaway romp. Stat wise, I think they had four sacks as a team. But yeah, I think 10 quarterback hits. They weren't going against Aaron Rodgers or anything like that in terms of the Buffalo Bills quarterback. But still, you know, they're able to create those turnovers, you know, stripping the ball. You know, Kyle, I think Kyle Fuller had a very, very good game today. And, you know, he had a couple pass breakups, one that you know, caused into a Leonard Floyd interception for a touchdown as well. I think Leonard Floyd, you know, had no sacks, but he had a couple good pressures. And I think he was very stout up against the run in terms of setting the edge. And he had a couple good pressures, you know, of course, the interception for a touchdown. I think Isaiah Irving finally, you know, got a sack. And I think he came out and had some put some pressure on. I think he showed some a little bit as well. So, you know, again, you know, Khalil Mack, the expectation is he'll be back next week. But you know what? The way Isaiah Irving played, you know, Kylie Fitz got some of his action for his actions, you know, the rookie. And while he wasn't credited with any sacks or anything, any tackles at all, but what I saw him do was he created some pressure by converting his speed into power, getting his hands into the chest of the offensive lineman and backing him up into the quarterback where the quarterback was uncomfortable in the pocket. So I think those young guys played well today. Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman had good games today, strong games as well. And, of course, the linebackers, Danny Trevathan and Roquan Smith, were all over the field. So definitely this was I would credit a defensive-led team victory. And they, like you said, they were tremendous today.
Danny, when you go over to ESPN.com and you look at the stat sheet for the defense, I mean, the list of stats for defensive players is so long because all of these guys got some playing time. Guys like Kevin Toller and Nick Witkowski, Nick Williams, Jonathan Bullard. Well, Jonathan Bullard is a starter, but he's down by the bottom of the list, which is probably a topic for another day. Anyway, Aaron Lynch, I thought he had a really outstanding game today until the two stupid penalties.
Stupid penalties, yeah. Man. The celebration penalty, it was like, I'm like, come on. Dude. You know, he's, you know, but first of all, there's already I think it was a holding penalty on somebody else that got him the first down. And he's celebrating a sack that doesn't even count. And then on top of that, he gets a 15-yard penalty for doing his thrusting, whatever you want to call that. But, and I guess post game he said that he'll do it again or something like that. It doesn't really. I mean, come on, man. You know, you don't want to put your team at a disadvantage by you know drawing stupid you know penalties. But again, the I think the middle linebackers had a tremendous game. You know, Roquan Smith was all over the field. Danny Trevathan had a couple of tackles for losses. Fangio would blitz, he'd send Trevathan or Roquan Smith, and those guys would get there or generate pressure on the passer. Eddie Jackson had 5 tackles, 4 solos. Akeem Hicks, you know, made a couple hits there as well. So, and good all around defensive effort by the team. I think everyone, like you said, everyone contributed. Everyone who played got into the stat sheet. It was definitely a team victory that was led by the defensive unit today.
I'm going to nitpick a little bit here only because I like to play the devil's advocate. I like to get into verbal fisticuffs with guys like you and Phil.
Are you going to talk about Eddie Jackson?
No, but I can. I was going to talk about Roquan Smith because while I agree he had a very active day and he showed the traits that made me fall in love with him and made me so happy when he was available for the Bears after my boy Quentin Nelson was gone. But yet, he had a couple of missed tackles today. And as Chris Armstrong pointed out in the article that she wrote at bearsbarroom.com, where she dissected the game from her vantage point, Roquan, there was a couple of pass plays, one in particular that I remember, and I think I put it up on the Twitter account at Bears Barroom, where Roquan is guarding the tight end, and he looks at the backfield because he's thinking there's going to potentially be a running play, and he loses a step by giving that look, and there goes a tight end on a slam pattern, catches the ball, and ends up with the 26-yard reception. No, Roquan, you can't do that. Yes, you should keep your eyes in the backfield, but you don't slow down. You don't do it. Your assignment was to guard that tight end. Guard him. So I think that when you and Shane, who were so loving about Roquan Smith, I think you guys are overlooking a two or three bad plays that he had.
You're done? I was waiting for you to get it all out of here before I jumped in here.
It's all out.
Well, I mean, yeah, okay, so the kid, first of all, there's no denying he's a sideline-to-sideline playmaking tackling machine, okay? He is aggressive, yes. Does he come up and get a little too aggressive and miss a couple of tackles? Sure. But again, we have to forget. We forget sometimes that he is a rookie. He's still learning. He is still going to get better. You know, this guy is not a finished product yet, right? He came out as a highly touted kid, and he's showing you why he was so highly touted. This kid, his instincts, his ability to key off and read offensive linemen, what they're doing, to be able to come up and fill his gaps, strong and responsible, you know, in terms of his tackling and being able to take on blockers, so on and so forth. This guy is the real deal. And yes, will he make mistakes? Yes, he will. But these are rookies that are getting better and better and better. You know, the player pointing out, that's going to be a teaching moment. That's going to be something in the field room that Fangio or the linebackers coach is going to say, hey, you know, this is something you did once. This is a mistake. Don't do it again. And typically with Roquan Smith, if he makes a mistake the first time, you rarely see him make it again the second time. So, you know, is he learning? Yes. Is he a finished product? No. But is he a playmaker? Hell yes.
I'm not going to argue with anything that you said, because everything you said makes perfect sense. I just want everybody to know that I am seeking perfection. I just wrote this in the chat. I am seeking perfection from the young guys.
Missed tackles. Danny Trevathan has the same issues in coverage. So my point is, these things happen. It's just a matter of cleaning them up and not making them continuously, whether it's in a game or week to week. You know, this is going to be a teaching moment. This is something that he's going to learn from. And I totally expect him to be, you know, much better, you know, week 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, so on and so forth.
All right. And I don't want to dwell on the imperfections of Roquan Smith or anyone on the defense. And there were some imperfections. Some of the tackling in the second half when guys like Eddie Jackson were trying to strip the ball as opposed to tackling, and the guys gained.
He did it in the first quarter. It's the same thing he did in the first quarter. I think Bryce Callahan had the guy up, or I think Roquan had held the guy up, and he came in and he stripped the ball and picked it up and scored. So he was trying to do the same thing. You know, at that point, you just want to – you're up, you have a big lead, you just want to, you know, secure a tackle that's not – you know, have a, you know, a guy break free and go in, you know, for an easy, you know, or a cheap touchdown. But basically he was just trying to make a play like he did in the first quarter. That's what he was trying to do.
Totally agree. Eddie Jackson, to me, today's game personified Eddie Jackson's pro career. He did some tremendous things, and yet there were a couple of, you know, dunderhead plays that he had out there. But again, I don't want to harp so much. This defense played so well, and I don't want to look at this, you know, almost perfect game and dwell on the imperfections.
But just think about it though. Think about it. Although, I mean, we're talking about a safety who I think has two or three touchdowns this year. I think he had two touchdowns last year. A playmaking safety. We were dying for a playmaking safety. How many years we've been asking for? We needed a playmaking safety. We got one now, and now we're nitpicking in terms of him trying to make another play.
You're right.
You know,
you're absolutely right. And to me, it's hard to pick a defensive player of the game when the guys do bear up and bear down. Shane and Phil are going to have a really, really hard time, because I think Adrian Amos today had a bear up type of game. He had an excellent, excellent football game today.
He did. Yeah. And it shows in the stat sheet as well. I mean, he had seven tackles, six solo, a sack, a tackle for loss, two, you know, passes defended, and a quarterback hit. So he definitely was a presence in the middle of the field. I love the way he attacked in terms of coming downhill and stopping, you know, taking on the run. Of course, he had the interception as well. So, you know, I think, you know, both safeties, you know, acquitted themselves very well today from the previous, you know, couple of weeks, in which both had some shady tackling, some questions about their you know, ability to bring guys down and finish a tackle. So I think both safeties play well today. I think both linebackers play well today. I think the defensive line played well today. Like I said, the entire defensive unit had a hand. Again, they're facing Nathan Peterman, but you know what? What you do is you go out and play who they put in front of you, and that's who the Bills presented, and that's who the Bears took care of.
Absolutely. Talk to me about Eddie Goldman, because I think he had a sensational game today. And at the end of the first half, when I had him listed as my number one star on the defense out of the three that I picked, I got a lot of crap from some Bears fans saying, oh, Eddie Goldman and so forth.
Right.
Obviously, those people just do not look at what's happening in the middle of the defensive line.
That's the thing. It's like, you know, like he does a lot of the dirty work that goes unnoticed. He's not flashy. He doesn't get the sacks. He doesn't get the big, you know, the big plays that everyone keeps replaying over and over again. But if you just key on him, play in and play out. If he's not taking on double team, he's taking on guys that are sometimes bigger than him. He's stonewalling them at the point of attack, and he's allowing either A, for his linebackers to come up and fill the gaps and make the play, or B, he's stacking those guys, meaning he's basically neutralizing them. He's seeing where the play is heading, the play flow. He's shedding the blocker, and he's making the play. You know, guys like Eddie Goldman, nose tackles in these types of defenses, in the 3-4 defenses, they do not get the credit or the notoriety, if you will, like the guys on the outside, the pass rushers who get the big sack numbers, or the guys who get the interceptions, so on and so forth. But Eddie Goldman is, or any nose tackle on the 3-4, is one of the key players, because the defense is always strong as its middle. If your nose tackle is weak at the point of attack and gets pushed over and bowled over, you're going to be one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. And Eddie Goldman, along with Akeem Hicks, form a formidable line up front. That's why the Bears, up until today, I think, gave up the first rushing touchdown of the season. And that was a cheapie to Peterman, who kind of snuck in on a quarterback sneak at the 1-yard line. So, you know, definitely goes unnoticed. Definitely a guy, you know, the Bears obviously knew his worth by, you know, signing him up, re-upping him for another, you know, big contract before the beginning of the season. So he's a guy that, you know, if the run defense is leaky and the team is running up the middle, that means Eddie Goldman had a bad game. But if the opposite team cannot run on the Bears, that's typically because Eddie Goldman is up front, stout, and he is playing his ass off. And he had a great, great game today.
I love your analysis of Eddie Goldman. It almost reminds me of a player that we have on our Bears barroom team by the name of Bears Girl.
Oh yeah, she is stout at the line of scrimmage. She
stout
cannot get
at the line of scrimmage.
Her ability
unheralded.
To stack and shed is unbelievable.
Bears girl is in the bar room. How you doing?
I am exhausted, fellas, and I thought I'd be coming in here to referee you two, but it sounds like you're going to need one on Tuesday for 100%.
Yeah, you probably should step in there, because Phil and I are probably going to have it out. Bears girl, thank you so much for staying up late and popping in and sharing some thoughts about your experience over at what is the stadium called? New Era?
New Era. That is a new name for the Ralph Wilson Stadium.
The old Ralph Wilson Stadium is now called New Era. So you got there about an hour and a half before kickoff, and I understand that you met some barflies. Tell us a little bit about your encounters.
Yeah, so we had a barfly chat trying to coordinate. There was 9 of us trying to meet up, mm-hmm. and that completely fell apart. But I was able to find the guys from the Rock Pile Report that we had on with Buffon on a Wednesday,
yeah,
and
as
I was meeting up with them, all I hear is BG, and I'm like, who the knows me here? And it's Diddy and his brother Aaron, and they had just parked and had gone over and met with Badge, who was over in Lot 1. He was also there with Frankie from Toronto. I don't know where Michael from Toronto was. Nate was in town, but we didn't get a chance to meet with him. So, yeah, we met Barflies, Bears fans, lots of Bears fans in Buffalo, and some really cool Bills Mafia folks.
Barflies unite! Well done, well done. You know, Danny told me that he noticed something about a photograph or a video that you posted. Danny, what was that you mentioned to me?
Yeah, BG, first of all, thanks for joining us. It looks like you have a little bit of a party voice there. Maybe some shouting today at the game, maybe a little bit.
Just a wee bit of shouting.
So I noticed you were wearing a Bills dog tag. Is that, did I miss that?
Yeah. That's what they handed out to all of the people at the game today, former Salute to Service. So I wore that proudly. Yep.
Gotcha.
Well, we wanted to make fun of you.
My other question for Aldo, I'm sorry to interrupt, but my big question for you was, did you jump through any tables pregame.
I did not jump through any tables. Apparently,
I was hoping for some video of that. I wanted to see some
video. No, no. Okay. It did happen. There is video out there that was posted from a Reddit Bears page where there were Bears fans jumping and cracking tables.
I saw that.
That was not the tailgate lot I was at. It was great. God. Aaron from Cover One let me know that most Bills Mafia folks are not like that.
Gotcha. But you saw how were you greeted in terms of the Bills Mafia? Were they okay with you guys? Did they give you guys crap at the beginning of the game? Or?
No. I got hugs. I got high fives. We were walking down from where we parked, and everyone just was like, go Bears, and people were great, which is why I absolutely had no problem giving them respect back and taking photos with Bills fans. You know, shit talking absolutely happened in the stadium, in our seats. Everyone was you know, piling upon each other until I went to the bathroom at the second half and came back and noticed almost everyone around us had left. So
they're probably in the parking lot finishing off their alcohol.
Hey, Bears Girl, tell us a little bit about your kind of perceptions on the football game. You know, what kind of stood out to you from your vantage point? Because you were seated where? Near the goal line, I think?
I think we were on the 10-yard line. Okay. On the Bills side, because the tickets that my friend Don got us are actually from a friend of his who was a Bills season ticket holder. And I'll tell you that the first couple of drives, we looked at each other like, this is not going to look good if we lose here and we're surrounded by Bills fans. I mean, there's scatterings of Bears fans, but they were mostly on the visitor side. Mm. But I'm telling you, as soon as we started piling in those touchdowns, Bills fans were actually just cheering for us and laughing at themselves. And I think that's one of the things about that fan base that I really respected is, they know they suck and they own it.
Yeah.
Unlike the Detroit fans that we met when we were there, although they're just a bunch of delusional morons. They suck and they don't know it. They still think they're going to win.
Yeah, that is true. What was your perception of Mitch Trubisky in the game that he had today?
He wasn't bad. He wasn't good. I almost lost my shit and spilled my beer when I watched him throw that interception and it landed perfectly. I think if it was Trey, what was his name?
Trey Burton?
Trey is white.
Thank you. Yeah. And I'm like, but are you kidding me right now? And I'm screaming. Of course, everyone else is drowning out my scream because they're cheering. Sorry, Danny?
Danny is momentarily muted for some reason. He'll come right back. Go ahead and finish your thought, Bersko.
No, I thought he played average. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't see anything. I honestly thought we'd get the tale of two Trubiskys again, where we'd have a shitty first half, and he'd come back in the second. So it was nice to see him actually pull out some good plays in the first half, but I wasn't impressed.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those games where
there's this communication between.
Go ahead, Danny.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Sorry, I lost you guys for a second there. No, I was on that Trubisky. I think, in fairness, I think it was a miscommunication between him and Burton, because it looked like Burton sat down on the route instead of continuing upfield. So I'm not sure if there was something between him and Burton that was missed there.
Yeah.
And it probably did happen, but it when you were watching it from the stands, and I don't know how it looked on TV, but it looked like he was throwing it to him. Like, the way it just landed was like, are you kidding me? Like, that's where you throw the fucking ball? Really? To him?
Hey, you're not supposed to swear on this show.
Oh, sorry. I'm
wrong
so
show.
Used to being with you guys on 100 proof. My bad.
So the one thing, Bears Guy, I wanted to ask you was, I noticed on TV was they missed, the Bears did, Kyle Long up front at the point of attack.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like that the Bills' defensive line just was really dominating the line of scrimmage in terms of getting those, you know, the offensive line going backwards and
absolutely
sitting.
Absolutely. Mac, I don't think that long not game there definitely was felt. And there definitely was going to play out. Know how that's going to play out the next 8 weeks. Going to play out. And he's not 8 weeks. I mean, he's not due back. He's not due back until the last game. He's not due back until the last game. He's not due back until the last game. He's not due back until the last game this season. Back until the last game this season, right? Last game this season, right?
Right, he's got to miss a
highly doubt.
And one thing I forgot to look into is I know they can recall at least one player off of injury reserve because I think Shaheen's coming off of injury reserve. I'm not sure if they can recall two. I got to go back and double check that. Is it two?
Two, yes.
Okay, all right.
Tick Splits.com, our sponsor of this show. And
Bears.com don't have a promo?
We don't have a promo written. No. I was hoping that you would tell us a little bit about Tick Splits.
So Tick Splits is one of our amazing sponsors here at Bears Barroom, and they are able to hook you guys up with tickets to all the upcoming Bears games, both home and away, with no service fees. So the prices you're playing at Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, all those places, they are inflated with service fees galore. So go check out TickSplits.com and get your tickets and go to the next games, guys. They're going to be fascinating. They're going to be great.
Absolutely. One of the cool things
about... Wow, that's impressive. She did all that by memory.
She did. I put her on the spot, and she hit it out of the park. One of the impressive things about Tick Splits is if you follow them on Twitter, at Tick Splits, TixBlitz, if you follow them on Twitter, they will show you an example of what you're paying for a similar seat on StubHub and what you're paying from Tick Splits, and the savings are tremendous, which is why they are such a huge threat to StubHub. I have got to tell you, I have spent thousands of dollars on StubHub, and never again am I going to spend a single penny on StubHub. Not when I have Tick Splits at my disposal and I can save all that money. I might be able to buy me a bottle of that expensive scotch that I've been eyeing every time I go over to Benny's Beverages.
Well, you can also check out Tick Splits and their charitable work, because they do donate a portion of all of their ticket sales to charity. And that is awesome. One of the other reasons we chose to sponsor with them.
Chose
to partner with them.
Ace Daniels is saying, F, and I bought my tickets from StubHub. Yeah, Ace, I'm sorry. You should have paid $138 per ticket. You probably could have got it for about $100 per ticket from Tick Splits. Yep. All right, final thoughts as we go around here. Let me start with you, Bears girl, the lady in the house. Any final thoughts about your experience over at Buffalo at Old Orchard Park? Old Orchard Park, is that what it's called? Old Orchard, that's the name of the suburb in Buffalo, right?
I know it's Orchard Park. I don't know Orchard about the Park. Old park, but yeah.
I'm thinking about the suburb in Chicago.
Chicago, yeah.
Probably. No, I mean, it was a great time. I'm glad that my friend Dawn and I are able to do these road trips and see the Bears to keep a tradition going. And I've been lucky. I've been able to get to away games and be a Bears fan and not be disrespected, not have beer thrown at me. And I think we need to do the same when people come into our house.
Hey, Bears girl, you and I were at the game in Detroit when the Bears lost to the Lions. And then now you and Don were at the game in Buffalo when the Bears annihilated the Bills. What can you sense what the difference was in these two clubs?
Other than the fact that I said that they, you know, they're a level of appreciation for how bad their respective teams are different. The Lions are completely out of touch. And the Bills fans just go back to their trucks and their trailers and drink. that was the difference there. But they were both respectful. I mean, as we were leaving and we had our ass handed to ourselves in Detroit, everyone said, you know what? Good game. And the same thing as we left, new era. I mean, tons of Bears fans chanting and nobody was disrespectful about it. You know, we had Bills fans come up to us and say, hey, you know what? Bear down. Go Bears.
Very cool. Danny, give me your final thoughts on this Bears win and anything else regarding Chicago Bears.
These are two games that I deemed must win 2 weeks ago, because they're games that the Bears could beat, should beat, and they did. I like the way this team responds after losses. I like the way the coaching staff gets them prepared and be able to bounce back. You know, a couple of tough back-to-back losses in Miami and New England. They come back now and they, you know, they win these two games. They're going to hit into a 3 week stretch here where they're going to be playing their NFC North rivals. So it's a big stretch coming up. Another key point about these two wins is they did it without two of their big players on offense and defense, respectively, and Allen Robinson, the receiver, and, of course, Khalil Mack. So, you know, will those guys be back next week? You know, it's still up in the air. I did see Mack jumping up and down today, celebrating with Leonard Floyd after his pick six. So the ankle looked pretty good. Hopefully he's back to 100%. But I'll tell you what, if he's not 100%, I wouldn't mind seeing him give him another week, because the week after we're playing the Vikings, and that could be a battle for first place in the division. So I'd rather have him healthy at 100% versus Minnesota than, you know, 80-85%, even 90% versus Detroit. So you know, good victories, like I said, must wins. They got them done. Now we're going to play at NFC North. Now it's time we start making some hay in the division. Again, Trubisky showed some signs today. You know, it was up and down game offensively. They never got into a rhythm. Some of that was due to the Bills' defense. Some of that was due to just the Bears creating turnovers and scores on their own defensive unit. So they never got into a rhythm. He made a couple nice throws. Again, I like the way he is now manipulating the pocket, buying some time instead of just ducking and running. We noticed, as we pointed out earlier, that the defensive unit now are identifying him as a threat, as a runner. They're actually, taking one guy and making him spy. That takes one guy out of coverage, one guy away from rushing the passer. So that's also positive. So, you know, it wasn't a great game, but also we did see some positives here as well. So, you know, heading into division games next week versus Detroit, you know, just go one at a time. If you get two out of three of these games, especially, you know, one against Detroit and one against Minnesota, I think you're sitting pretty in terms of the playoffs.
I believe they're going to win both of those games, but that's just a gut feeling that I have. And I just want to tell all of Chicago Bears fans, all of our Barflies, what I said at the beginning, believe this team is 5-3, and there's no reason to think that they can't go 5-3 or even better the second half of the season. This team is playoff bound, and we can help them by sending positive vibes. We can help them by, at the stadium, getting up off of our butts and cheering on third down. We can help them by creating a championship or playoff type atmosphere here in Chicago, something that we haven't done. Bears Girl has a thought. She's raising her finger at me, and so I got to let her get this thought in.
Which finger? Which
finger? Typically, it's the middle one.
I'm not raising a bad finger. I'm back to good BG. But I was thinking of Dr. Phil when I was at the stadium, because those Bills fans, for how bad their team was playing, they were up the entire first half of that game. Nobody was ass in seat. And not on third down. The whole game.
We were
like, why did we buy tickets to sit? Because no one's sitting. I mean, they gave up after the second half, obviously. But the noise in that stadium for an open stadium was crazy. I could barely hear the person sitting next to me.
You hear that, Danny?
And those fans were real. And those fans were ready to support that team, win or lose.
Charles Leno, those false start penalties were the result of the crowd noise. As Tom Thayer said, as Danny Shimon said, that Tom Thayer was probably right. And now Bears Girl is confirming for us that crowd noise had an impact. And this is crowd noise for a football team that sucks.
Well, offensively, they suck. Defensively, they're pretty good.
Correct. But we have a team in Chicago that offensively is scoring points at a record pace in a defense that looks as good as any defense that we've had this century. And we need to make some noise at Soldier Field, especially next week against the Detroit Lions and then the following week against the Minnesota Vikings. I'll be there, and I'll be making a hell of a lot of noise. Oh, there's the music. I love that music. Listen, everybody, I'm not going to tell you what's on Bears Barroom Radio Network, because you should know. It's going to be Bears Hour Live on Monday. Later in the week, it'll be Bears 100 Proof. Then it'll it'll be before 55. We've got a lineup of all sorts of great shows for you. And you know what? If the Bears keep winning, we're going to add more and more programming for you because you are asking for it. Bears girls shaking your head saying, no, 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 we're too busy as it is. But we have to because we know that you guys want this programming. And I'm going to tell you right now, I am going to work my butt off to make sure that all of our Barflies and Bears fans are entertained by what is happening this season, because I am entertained by what Matt Nagy, Mitch Trubisky, Vic Fangio, the defense and the offense are bringing to Chicago. This is a special time in Chicago Bears football history. This might not be a Super Bowl team, but I sense that this is a playoff team and one that is knocking on the door. It could be like the 1984 Chicago Bears. Remember that team? The loss against the Washington Redskins in the playoffs, and then the following... No, the Bears girl saying, no, I wasn't even born. She was 4 years old or minus four or something like that. But I'm telling you, good times are ahead. No, they're not ahead. We're experiencing good times right now, and we should be celebrating. We should be having fun. That's why you're here at Bears Ballroom Radio Network, and that's why I'm here talking crap and having drinks with my friends, Bears Girl and Danny Shipman. I love you guys, and I love the Barflies. And remember, if you drink, don't drive. Stay at home like I do, and always, Bear Down!